MFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P, Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman. Today, while Superman rockets back to Earth, the carefully guarded secret of his double identity stands on the brink of revealment.
Hello there, gang. This is your pal, Dan McCullough. You know, I've been so excited about that brand new series of comic buttons Kellogg's Pep is putting out. Why, I've been busy as anything all weekend, and I've rounded up all the fellows and girls in our neighborhood to see if they've found any of these new Pep comic buttons yet and how they like them. And believe me, they like them. Why, you should hear what the kids are saying about these nifty new prizes. They're honeys, they say. They're terrific. They're the best-looking things I ever saw, said one fella. Yes, sir, everybody's mighty enthusiastic about this brand-new series of Funny Paper characters like Tess Trueheart and the Little Moose and Superman, of course. And you'll be enthusiastic, too. The buttons are made of gleaming white enameled metal, you know, with the picture standing out clear and sharp. You'll want to collect all 18 of them. And you can, sure, easy as anything. You don't send in any money, not even a box top. And you can't buy them anywhere. All you do is to ask Mom to stock up on that Sunshine cereal, Kellogg's Pep, and look for your comic button inside every package. Look for some mighty delicious eating, too, because Pep is loaded with catchy, sunny flavor, a golden toasted flavor that's got come on in every bite. Get your good eating and exciting prizes, gang, from P.E.P., the Sunshine Cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
Now the adventures of Superman. After saving the planet Apollo from destruction and seeing the inhabitants under the leadership of his friend Thane freed from slavery, Superman suddenly remembered that he had left a sealed letter revealing his identity as Clark Kent with Dr. Millison, the famous scientist, back on Earth. In the event that Superman had not returned to Earth by a certain day, the letter was to be given to Editor Perry White. Saying a hasty goodbye to the Apollonians, Superman started back to Earth millions of miles away. But meanwhile, in Metropolis, Dr. Millison had brought the letter to the Daily Planet. And as we continue now in Perry White's office, the gray-haired editor is opening the wax-sealed envelope as Cub reporter Jimmy Olsen enters. Listen.
Here I am, Chief. Oh, hello, Dr. Millison.
Hello, Jim.
You want me, Chief?
Yes, Jim. Dr. Millison just brought this letter from Superman.
From Superman?
Yes, you see...
Sleeping lizard, you mean he's okay? What about Mr. Kent? Where are they?
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Keep your shirt on.
Let me see the letter.
Will you wait a minute? Wait till I open the envelope.
Gee whiz,
What? Well, what's this?
What? Let me see.
Will you stop grabbing?
But I want...
It's another envelope, also sealed. And it's addressed... to Perry White, Lois Lane, and Jim Olsen.
Well, that's me.
To be opened in the event of my death.
His death? Gosh. Poor Mr. Kent. I thought you just got the letter in the mail and that Superman and Mr. Kent were okay.
I wish that were so.
Unfortunately, it isn't. Superman and Kent have apparently been lost in space.
Oh, gee whiz.
I begged Superman not to go this time, but he wouldn't listen to me. Well, you'd better open that letter. He said it was very important.
Well, I'm trying to, but the flap is sealed with wax, like the other outer envelope. I'll get my letter opener. Wait a minute. Well, this is addressed to Lois, too. Where is she?
Oh, I don't know. She can see it later. Open it, please.
We can wait an extra minute, Jim. Now you go get it.
Oh, all right.
I can't imagine why Superman left this letter for Miss Lane and Jim and me, Dr. Millison. Do you suppose this could be his will?
No, I asked him that, but he said it was something much more important.
That's so. Well, in that case, I'll open it right... Oh, drat it. Now what? Hello? Who? Oh, yes, he's here. For you, Dr. Millison.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Millison speaking. Oh, yes, Dr. Bloomfield. How are you?
Miss Lane went out in that Hannigan story, Mr. White.
Yeah. Easy, Jim, easy. Yeah. Dr. Mellison is on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Are you sure?
Look, Chief, we don't have to wait for Lois to open Superman's letter, do we?
Good.
No,
but
since Superman told Dr. Mellison it was very important, we'll open it at once.
Oh, swell. Go ahead.
I need my letter opener, though, but I can't seem to find
it. That's amazing. I can't believe it.
Oh, here it is, Chief.
Huh? Oh, thanks. We'll just open this now and see what it says. Oh,
hurry up. I can hardly wait.
Yes, yes, of course. Yeah. I'll come at once.
I'm getting the wax off the flap now.
Mr. White.
Yeah?
Dr. Bloomfield just called from the observatory. He believes he's sighted the lost planet Apollo.
What? Huh?
Yes, it has apparently retreated from the sun and seems to be revolving in an orbit of its own space once more, which would indicate that Superman must have saved the planet.
Good Godfrey!
Great! Does that mean he and Mr. Kent are okay?
I should say it might very well mean that. If it is really Apollo that Dr. Bloomfield has sighted.
If? But you just said...
I said Dr. Bloomfield believes he sighted Apollo.
Oh.
However, there are one or two details which need confirmation. I'm going to the observatory now. You two care to come with me?
Do we? And
oh, why, of course we do. Why, this may mean that Kent and Superman, too, are alive. Come on, Doctor. Come on, come on. Let's go.
Now, do you see, Dr. Mellison? Do you see?
Yes, Dr. Bloomfield. I believe it is Apollo. I'm a little puzzled.
Please, may I see?
Keep away from the telescope, Jim.
As I recall, there was a series of peak formations across the northern bridge of the planet. But I don't see them now.
That troubles me, too. There was such a formation.
You mean it isn't Apollo after all?
Don't interrupt,
Jim. There also seems to be a difference in the pattern of the rivers and canals.
Exactly. That's why I ask you to come here. Yet surely there cannot be a planet other than Apollo within the inner ones, which we have not yet discovered.
No, but...
Oh, gee whiz, make up your minds, will you? Is it Apollo or isn't it?
Jim, what's the matter with you?
Oh, gosh, Chief.
Be
the size and general formation seems very much like Apollo, Dr. Bloomfield.
Yes, but...
Changes could very well have taken place when the planet was lost in space and drifting toward the moon, you know.
That's what I think. I really believe it is Apollo, Dr. Millicent.
So do I. But we might be mistaken. Where are the photographs we made of Apollo?
Over here, on my desk.
I'd like to examine them again.
Oh, now where are we? First it was Apollo, and Superman and Mr. Kent were probably okay. Now it might not be Apollo, and we're right back where we started.
Well, now, Jim, that planet, whatever it is over 30 million miles away. And even this telescope, the most powerful in the world, can't perform the impossible.
Yeah, I know, but... Gosh, when I think about Mr. Kent and Superman,
I know. I feel that way, too. Well, while we're waiting, we may as well read Superman's letter.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it.
The time limit, he said, has passed, and we're not at all sure Apollo has been sighted again, so... Well, where did I put that envelope?
Oh, haven't you got it?
Oh, I don't seem to have
well,
it.
Look in your inside pocket.
I am. It's not here.
Oh, golly, what...
Now, take it easy. I must have left it on my desk. Yes, that's right, I did.
Phew, you had me scared for a minute.
Oh, Dr. Mellison, I hate to interrupt, but how long do you think you'll be?
Hard to tell, Mr. White. We're going to take some photographs of the planet now. It may be several hours, perhaps days, before we can positively identify it as Apollo or not.
Oh, several days.
Well, in that case, we'll go back to the office. I want to read that letter of Superman's. Will you phone me when you've come to a decision?
Yes, of course.
Well, thanks. Let's go, Jim.
Leaving the observatory, Perry White and Jimmy Olsen start back to the Daily Planet. And a short time later, as Dr. Mellison and Dr. Bloomfield work over their charts and photographs in the observatory, the door opens, and a tall figure in blue costume and red cape enters and strides swiftly toward them.
Good day, gentlemen.
Dr. Bloomfield, look.
It's Superman.
Right.
We've given you up. Tell me, what happened?
Yes, what of Apollo? Tell us everything.
Apollo is all right now, but listen.
You mean this is Apollo that we now see beyond Mars?
It is.
What happened? How you did it? Why you...
I'll tell you everything later, but first I've got to know about that letter I left with you, Dr. Millicent. The one addressed to Mr. White. Where is it?
The letter?
Yes.
Oh, yes, the letter. I gave it to Mr. White.
You did? When?
Why, a couple of hours ago, at noon.
Great Scott, then he's read it. Then
I don't
then
know if he's read it yet. You see, White and Jim Olsen were about to when Dr. Bloomfield called us to come to the observatory. And come to think of it, when they left here a little while ago, I overheard White say that they were going back to the Daily Planet to read your letter.
Oh, never mind the letter. Tell us.
Just a moment. How long ago did Mr. White and Jim leave here, Dr. Mellison?
Oh, I see. I'd say about an hour ago.
An hour ago? I just about have time to get back to the planet. If I'm lucky, I might still be able to get there before they read it. I'll use this window if you don't mind.
No, but wait, Superman.
You must tell us about Apollo.
Later. Right now, there's too much at stake. Up and away!
Leaping from the observatory, Superman streaks toward the Daily Planet with all the speed he can muster. Have Perry White and Jimmy Olsen read his letter, and so become aware of his real identity at last? We'll know in a moment when we return to the startling climax of today's episode. So stand by.
Say, gang, I don't know when I've gotten such a kick out of something, so many chuckles as I have out of this brand new series of comic buttons that now come in packages of Kellogg's Pep. Those pictures of your old funny paper friends look so real they could talk. Take Casper, for instance. He's wearing a wide grin and looks as if he's going to tell a joke any minute. And Barney Google in his old-fashioned derby hat and popping eyes. Boy, he's bound to hand you a laugh. And Beezy and the little moose and Superman himself. Every single one of these 18 new Pep comic buttons is strictly terrific. Really worth collecting and wearing pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap. Not to mention the swell fun in swapping duplicates with your pals. So, how about it, gang? Better remind Mom to get you plenty of Kellogg's Pep, because that's the only way you can get these exclusive prizes. You don't send in any money, not even a box stop, and you can't buy them anywhere. But there's one of these nifty new comic buttons in every package of Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal. Those crisp, tender whole wheat flakes with a catchy sunshine flavor. Makes mighty good eating for breakfast, and mighty good for you. So ask Mom to get P-E-P, the Sunshine Cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
Fearful that his friends at the Daily Planet may have read a letter which reveals his double identity, Superman speaks to the newspaper offices. Resuming the guise and garb of the mild-mannered reporter Clark Kent, he draws a deep breath and enters Perry White's office just as the gray-haired editor is saying to Jimmy Olsen.
I can't understand it, Jim.
Oh, neither can I, Chief.
Can't understand why?
I can't understand why the...
What?
Good Godfrey! Oh. Jim, look.
Weeps, it's...
Well, go on, Jim. Who?
It's you. Oh, boy, it is you, isn't it?
Why, of course it is. Why, put it there, my boy. Put it there. But let me shake your hand. I want to make sure I'm not dreaming, and it really is you.
I'm really who? Who am I?
Huh?
Oh, now, look here, Kent. If this is your idea...
Kent. You called me Kent.
Well, of course.
Sure, of course. It's good to be back.
I still can't believe it. We've given you and Superman up.
Superman and me, huh?
Oh, for heaven's sake, Kent. Is there something the matter with you?
Oh, no. Just relieved, that's all. Look, I presume you didn't read the letter yet.
What letter?
The letter the letter Superman left with Dr. Millicent for you. He said he gave it to you today.
Yes, he did, but...
Where is it? I'd like to see it.
Oh, we can't. It's gone.
Gone?
It's disappeared. It's the strangest thing, Kent.
Disappeared? Well, how?
Well, I thought, in fact, I was quite sure I left it right here on my desk when we rushed over to the observatory before. But when we came back, well, I just simply couldn't find it.
No, and we ransacked the office, too.
Hey, Scott, this is terrible. If that secret is revealed, if my enemies find out...
Huh?
What are you talking about, Kent?
I'm talking about that letter. We've got to find it, and quickly. If we don't... Well, this is about the worst thing that could ever have happened to me.
Puzzled, Perry White and Jimmy Olsen look at Clark Kent, who has turned very pale, fearful that the whole world, and particularly his enemies, may soon be in possession of the secret of his double identity. What has happened to the letter? And will Kent retrieve it before it is too late? Don't miss tomorrow's exciting episode, fellows and girls, when strange things happen. Tune in, same time, same station.
And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep.
For excitement, the adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC comic magazines and is brought to you Monday through Friday at the same time, same mutual station, by Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal. Crumbles. Crumbles. Kellogg's Crumbles. Say that over a couple of times. Just goes with toasty words like crisp, crunchy, crinkly, doesn't it? And that's just what Crumbles is, a toasty kind of cereal for a frosty morning, sort of sweet and mellow rich. And you know, gang, Kellogg's Crumbles is the only cereal in the whole wide world made in those crinkly shreds of real whole wheat. So good to eat and so good for you. Crisp, crunchy, crinkly. Crumbles, Kellogg's Crumbles. And be sure to be with us tomorrow for the thrilling adventures of Superman.
Good morning. It's the 16th of September, 2020. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. This morning, I'm trying to squeeze in a week and a half of Superman episodes. They were about 12-minute dailies every day in 1946. This is The Secret Letter that aired from the 25th of November to the 3rd of December, 1946.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P, Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman. Today, a safe and sound Clark Kent returns to the fold of his boss, Perry White, only to learn that the sealed letter containing the secret of Superman's double identity is gone. Now, the adventures of Superman. Realizing that he might never return from his search for the lost planet Apollo, Superman, before his departure, left a sealed letter with Dr. Millison, the famous scientist, in which he revealed the secret of his double identity. In the event that he failed to return by a certain time, Millison was to deliver the letter, unopened, to Editor Perry White. Returning to Earth a few hours past the stated time, Superman learned that Millison had just delivered the letter to White and Jimmy Olsen. Praying that they had not yet read it, he hurried to the Daily Planet newspaper in his guise of Clark Kent. In White's office, Kent learned that the letter had not been read, only because it had disappeared. Shocked, Kent gasped.
My enemies get hold of that letter. Why, anything can happen.
Huh?
Great Caesar's ghost, will you please tell us what this is all about?
Gee whiz, I don't get it at all. Look, you didn't... I mean...
No, I didn't commit any crimes or anything like that. It's just that I... Well, you see...
No, I don't see.
No, neither do I.
What was in that letter, Kent?
What was in it?
Yes, what was in it that's so all-fired important?
Why, Well, how should I know?
How should you know? Oh, my dear sainted Aunt Kelly.
Gosh, Mr. Kent, something must have happened to you up on Apollo. How can you say you don't know what's in that letter?
Wait a minute. What's the matter with you two? Don't you realize we're talking about Superman's letter?
Of course I know it was Superman's letter.
Well?
What I want to know is now is why you've been beating your chest and tearing your hair about it. You know what was in it?
Well, how should I know?
No, I've got to be calm. I've got to remember I'm not young anymore. But, Kent, if you don't stop bushing about the beat, I mean, beating about the bush and tell us what was in that letter,
I get it.
You get what?
Well, how could Mr. Kent know what was in Superman's letter? Isn't that right, Mr. Kent?
Of course. It's all very simple. I've just been talking for Superman, that's all.
For huh? Superman?
Well, naturally. I'm giving you his own words from his own mouth, you might say. Obviously, he put something in that letter which must not be revealed while he's alive. I'm excited and worried because if that information does become known, he won't be half as valuable to humanity as he is now.
Gosh.
Superman told you that, Kent?
I told you, Chief. I'm giving you Superman's own words. He left that letter for you to be read only in the event of his death. But fortunately, he came back safely from Apollo, and so he must get that letter back before its contents are read by anyone.
Cheapers.
No, well, why didn't you say so before? Instead of gabbing about enemies and...
Well, I guess I was pretty upset. I still am, as a matter of fact. Now, what about that letter? What happened to it?
I don't know. It just seems to have disappeared.
Mr. White was sure he left it here when we went to the observatory with Dr. Millicent. But when we got back, it was gone.
How sure are you that you left it here in the office, Chief?
I don't know. No, I thought I did.
Do you remember, Jim?
All I remember is he was starting to open it when Dr. Bloomfield called from the observatory about sighting Apollo again. We ran out of here in such a hurry, I can't remember what happened to the letter.
Oh, that's great. Think, Chief, what could you have done with it?
I must have left it here because I didn't have it at the observatory. I looked. You remember, Jim?
Uh-huh. But then it should still be here.
That's right.
I don't see it, but maybe it is still here somewhere. Come on, let's start looking. I'll go through these papers.
Well, we already went through them, Mr. Kent.
No, we've ransacked the whole office, even the files and the wastebasket.
Well, then where could... Now, look. You never lock your office when you leave, do you, Chief?
No. Why should I?
Well, then someone might have come in, seen the envelope, and walked off with it.
Say, that's right.
Nobody could come in here but members of the staff, and none of them would dare take a sealed envelope off my desk.
We can't be too sure.
Well, I am sure. Anyhow, nobody came in here while I was gone. I've already questioned Miss Bachrach, whose desk, as you know, is right outside my door.
Wait. When you two left here with Dr. Millicent, did you go directly to the observatory?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How did you go?
Why, by taxi.
What kind of taxi?
What kind?
Yes, red and white, checker, yellow, which?
Oh, I think it was a red and white.
The yellow, I think.
Well, was it a checker?
Oh, come on, make up your minds. Which was it?
Well, maybe it was a checker, at that.
Gosh, I don't know what it was now.
Oh, and you call yourselves newspaper men.
What?
Well, gee whiz, we were all excited.
A reporter is supposed to keep his head and be observant.
Now, how do you like that for gratitude? We were worried about you, you fathead. We thought you were done for, and that's why we...
I'm sorry, Chief. Really, I am. I shouldn't have said that, but I'm very upset, and it's just... Hello? Excuse me, Chief. This is Clark Kent of the Daily Planet. Yes, will you put Dr. Millicent on the phone, please, and hurry. It's important.
What are you calling Dr. Millicent for, Mr.
Well,
Kent?
I just thought maybe he'll remember what kind of a taxi you were in.
Well, why is the cab so important?
Oh, he thinks I might have dropped the letter in the cab, I guess.
Yes, and what's more... Hello, Dr. Millicent. Yes, listen, Yes, I'm fine, thanks, but badly worried. Look, do you remember what kind of a cab you and Mr. White and Jim Olson took from the Daily Planet to the observatory today? Yes, I mean, was it a red and white or a yellow or... A red and white, huh? Are you sure? Oh, that's fine. Did you happen to notice what the driver looked like? You didn't, eh?
Oh, neither did I.
No, I didn't either.
All right, thanks very much. Well, I haven't time to explain now. Yes, later. All right, thanks again, Doctor. Goodbye.
He said it was a red and white, eh?
Yes, and
well, that's what I said first.
Well, you call the red and white cab company, Kent. Our driver might have found the letter and turned it into his office.
No, I'm going to the cab office myself. If the letter wasn't turned in, I want to find the driver. Come on with me, Jim. Keep your fingers crossed.
Sorry, Mr. Kent. There was nothing turned in by any of our drivers today.
Uh-oh.
Of course, it might be turned in later. You want to leave your phone number?
No, I can't wait. The letter is too important. I've got to find the driver of that cab and talk to him.
Yeah, but I...
How are we going to do that, Mr. Kent? We don't know who he is, and none of us even remember what he looked like.
No, Jim, but cab drivers have to keep a record of their trips. Isn't that right, Mr. Sandler?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh.
Some driver's log will show a trip from the Daily Planet to the observatory on Mount Arthur around noon today. He's our man.
Oh, well, let's get busy. Check the record.
No, we can't do that yet.
Kent, why not?
This trip was made around noon, as you say. Driver was working their first shift.
Oh?
That's from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon.
Uh-oh.
First shift drivers won't be in here till 4 with their logs.
Gee whiz, it's just 3:20 now.
Well, if you want to wait...
Well, wait. We've got to wait. My only hope is that whoever found that letter isn't too curious to refrain from opening it.
Caught with anxiety, Clark Kent starts pacing the floor of the taxicab office, praying that he may get possession of the precious letter before his enemies do. We'll learn in a moment where the all-important letter is. So stand by. In a room on the 18th floor of the Metropolis Hotel, a small, thin man with the round, pink face of a baby stands by admiringly as his companion, a tall, dark man with heavy black eyebrows wearing immaculate evening clothes, painstakingly nuts his white bow tie before the mirror of a dresser.
You look like Class, that suit and fish eyebrows.
Yep. I gotta look like Class tonight, Buster. Gonna mix with the high society, you know.
Yeah, but don't worry, pal. I tell you, you look more like a dude than the dudes themselves.
Ah, thanks.
What's the idea of getting dressed so early? It's only the middle of the afternoon.
I told you. Takes 3 hours to get out to this joint. Blast it. Now I spoil this tie, too. And I hope I got another.
Hey, that's the same tie you throw away. What's the idea?
I gotta look just right. That's the idea. Ah, good. I got another white tie.
Look, you better bring back something good to make up for all them ties and, of course, the rent and the fancy duds.
I'll bring back plenty, Buster. Don't worry.
I'll bet you will. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Read this to me, will you, eyebrows?
Yeah, what's that?
It's a letter.
Ah, go on. Who'd send you a letter? You can't read.
Nobody sent it to me. I found it in that cab we was in just before.
I didn't see any letter in that taxi.
It was down behind a seat. I always reach down for a look-see. And sometimes I find money that rolled out of a guy's pocket. This time I found a letter. Ah, read it to me, will you?
What do you want to read somebody's letter for? Go look at the funny papers. Good for more laughs.
Oh, you already looked at him. Anyhow, I like to hear other guys' mail read to me. Ah, come on, I browse. Be a good guy. Read it to me, huh?
Haven't got time, Buster. Throw it away. I'll read you the comics when I get back.
Nah, I don't like that. I like to hear letters. Ah, please, eyebrows.
Oh, all right.
Gee, thanks.
Come on, give it to me. Hurry up quick.
All right, here it is. I got it out of the envelope already.
Yeah, good. Says, Dear Mr. White, Lois, and Jim.
Oh, it's written to three people, huh?
Yeah, three people. Prepare yourselves for a shock.
Hey, it starts out real good, don't it?
Since it's very possible that I may never return, I...
What? What'd you stop reading for?
Hey, wait a minute, Buster.
What's the matter?
Great snakes and fishes. This letter is from Superman.
His eyes fairly popping out of his head, the man called Eyebrows reads the letter written by Superman. Apparently, the letter in which the Man of Steel reveals his identity as Clark Kent. Who is Eyebrows and his little companion, Buster? What will their possession of the letter, revealing one of the most carefully guarded secrets in the world, mean to Superman? Tomorrow's episode is packed with thrills and excitement, gang. So don't miss it. Tune in, same time, same station.
And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep.
For excitement, the adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC comic magazines and is brought to you Monday through Friday at this same time by Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal.
Now the adventures of Superman. Before he left to search for the lost planet Apollo, Superman left Dr. Millicent a sealed letter in which he revealed the secret of his double identity, and which was to be given to Editor Perry White in the event Superman failed to return. But now the letter has disappeared. And while Superman hunted frantically for it, a little man named Buster, who was unable to read, brought a letter he had found in a taxi to his companion, a man he calls Eyebrows, and asked him to read it to him. Eyebrows glanced casually through the letter, then gasped.
Great snakes, Buster. This letter is from Superman.
As we continue now, in their room at the Metropolis Hotel, Buster's eyes have grown round as saucers in his pink, babyish face as Eyebrows reads the letter.
Dear Mr. White, Lois, and Jim, prepare yourselves for a shock.
I already heard that part.
Shut up and listen. Since there is a strong possibility that I may be lost in space while searching for the lost planet Apollo...
Huh?
Or perhaps fall a victim to the direct rays of the sun.
What's that?
I am arranging to have this letter delivered to you after a specific lapse of time, which would indicate that I am not returning to Earth.
I don't get it.
Okay, never mind. I, my dear friends, am the person you have long known only as Clark Kent.
Hey, you said this letter was from Superman.
Well?
Well, the way you read it now, the guy, if you ask me, is a screwball. Well, he says it's somebody named Clark Kent.
Sure. He's Clark Kent, too.
Oh, there's two guys?
Yeah, that's right.
Ah, what you giving me? Not even Superman can be two different guys.
No. You don't get it, Buster. The way he goes on to say here, when he's not making like Superman, he puts on regular clothes and a pair of glasses and passes himself off for a reporter named Clark Kent.
But why does he disguise himself? Is he running a racket?
No. Trying to tell you. Look, when he's a reporter, he can find out stuff without anybody getting wise he's Superman, see? Then he turns into Superman. And whammo, cracks down on the big shot thief or the spy, maybe, or whoever he's after.
Ah, baloney. You can't make me believe a guy like Superman, what can jump from here to China like that, or pick up this whole hotel and drop it in the river, goes around disguising himself like he's somebody else.
Why not? Why not?
Well, I say it's a gag somebody's playing on this guy Clark Kent, whoever he is. How could Superman get lost?
Well, if he went looking for some planet, like he said.
Well,
Well, I don't know. Well, still, he couldn't get lost.
Yeah, who said he got lost? He just says in this letter he might get lost or something else might happen to him. Now, look, Buster. If this letter is on the level, we'll be millionaires.
Oh, it ain't, I tell you, it's a gag. Give me that again, eyebrows. I mean what you just said.
I said if this letter's on the level, we'll be millionaires.
Yeah? How?
Why, there are plenty of big operators, real big operators. They're scared of Superman, see?
Yeah. So how does that make us $1 million?
Hey, don't you see? We sell this information about Superman and Clark Kent being the same guy. And whoever's planning a big job can have Kent tail, see? Then, if Kent gets close, the guy trailing him tips off the boss before Kent can wise up all the way and make like Superman. Get it?
Look at eyebrows. Even if you was right, which you ain't, how could you ever prove it?
That's what I gotta figure out right now. There must be a way. So shut up, Buster. Let me think.
While Eyebrows seeks a way to prove the truthfulness of the astonishing information which has fallen into his hands, Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen are in the office of the Red and White Taxi Company with Joe McCluskey, a driver who has just come off duty.
Well, sure. I remember driving this young fellow up the Observer earlier today. About noon it was. Two old guys were with him.
That's right. Mr. White and Dr. Millis.
Yeah, but I didn't find any letter in my cab.
Uh-oh. Now what, Mr. Kent?
Just a minute, Jim. Look, Mr. McCluskey.
Just call me Mac. Everybody calls me Mac.
Mac?
Yes,
sir. Oh, okay, Mac. Did you examine your cab thoroughly after my friends got out of the observatory?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. But you just looked the car over yourself.
Yes, it isn't there now. Mr. White might have dropped it on the floor or behind the seat where another passenger found it.
Yeah, I suppose that could be.
But gosh, how are we going to find out, Mr. Kent?
Your log, Mac. The record you keep of your trips might help us. Can you check where you went after you dropped your fare at the observatory?
Well, wait a minute. Let me see. Yeah, sure. Here we are. I left the observatory at 2:45. Went to 311 Park Place.
Took a passenger there?
Sure. Picked him up at the observatory. I remember he was a little guy with a beard.
And he's the man we want to see. Look, can you come with us to where you took him, Mac? I'll pay you double for your time.
Sure, be glad to go along, Mr.
Fine. Kent. Let's go.
What kind of a letter?
A plain white envelope, Mr.
Spittleheimer, Professor Marcus Aurelius Spittleheimer.
Hey, boy,
I'm head of the Applied Science Department at Metropolis University.
Oh, yes, Professor Spittleheimer. I've heard of you, of course.
Really? Uh-huh. Have you read my book?
Well, not the last one.
You really should read my last book, Mr.
Yes,
Kent. As a newspaper reporter, you'll find it very interesting, very interesting indeed.
Sure I will, and I'm looking forward to reading it, Professor. But about this letter, it's very important.
Oh,
you see,
yes,
I'd like...
a letter. What about a letter?
Well, you see, I think it might have been dropped in the taxi you came back in from the observatory. Now, it was a plain white envelope, heavily sealed with red wax, and it was addressed to Perry White, Lois Lane, and Jim Olsen.
We think Mr. White dropped the letter.
Well, I didn't see any letter.
Oh, you sure of that, Professor? Of
course I'm sure, young man. Quite sure.
I see. Well, thank you very much. All right, come on, Jim. Mac, let's go.
Washes up our idea that Mr. White lost the letter in Mac's taxi cab,
huh? Yeah, sure does.
Not altogether.
But the professor was in the cab after all.
I know, Jim.
Well, if the letter was there, he'd have seen it.
Well, maybe not. If it was under one of the little spare seats or behind the main cushion, you might have missed it. Besides, it's obvious that he's the sort of person who's too preoccupied to pay much attention to things around him.
Gosh, but
I know, Jim, I know. You think we're playing an awfully long hunch.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's the only hunch I have right now, and I've got to follow it. Keep hoping we find the letter before somebody gets overly curious and opens it.
Hey, Mr. Kent, what was in this envelope? A lot of money?
Something much more important, Mac. Take another look at your log, will you, please? And tell me where you went after you dropped Professor Bittelheimer at his house here.
Sure. Hey, let me see. That'll be right here at the bottom of the sheet, because it was my last call.
Huh?
Yeah, here it is. I picked up a fare on the boulevard and took him to the Metropolis Hotel.
Gosh, that's the biggest hotel in town.
Now, just a minute, Jim. You remember what your last passenger looked like, Mac?
Well, Mr. Kent, usual, I don't notice my fares much. Less than we get to talking, or there's something, different about him. Like that professor with his beard.
Well, try to remember, Mac. Try hard. It means a lot.
Let me see. I remember now. There were two guys I picked up.
Two?
Yeah, sure. One was a little guy.
A lot of help there.
Quiet, Jim. Go on, Mac.
Yeah, sure. And the other guy, I remember him. He was taller, and he had bushy eyebrows like John L. Lewis, you might say.
Oh?
Black, bushy eyebrows. I remember now noticing them.
Black, bushy eyebrows, eh? All right, let's get into the cab and go to the Metropolis Hotel.
Oh, look, Mr. Kent.
What?
There's over 1,000 rooms in the Metropolis Hotel.
I know.
And lobbies and dining rooms all full of people. How do you expect to find one man there, if he still is there, when all you know about him is that he has bushy eyebrows?
Leave that to me, Jim.
All right, let's go, Mac. Step on it.
Okay, Mr. Kent, hang on.
His face drawn with anxiety, Clark Kent is driven to the Metropolis Hotel, where we left Eyebrows and Buster with the vital letter. But are they still there? We'll know in a moment when we return for the tense climax of today's episode. So stand by. As Clark Kent and Jimmy Olsen and Mac's taxi approach the Metropolis Hotel, Eyebrows and Buster, the two men in possession of Superman's letter, are leaving the elevator and walking through the lobby to the doors.
Now look at Eyebrows. Even if it was true, and this sent by you, Superman.
That's a lot.
Okay, okay. But like I say, if he is, we're playing with dynamite.
So what?
Well, so what? Oh, ain't we got trouble enough keeping King of the Cups without getting in trouble with
Superman? Will you keep your yap shut?
But look.
Shut up. Follow me outside. Gotta get a cab.
I don't like this.
Ah. There's an empty cab. Come on, Buster.
Listen, will you? I tell you, we're playing with dynamite.
I'm willing to play with a little dynamite for $1 million. Aren't you?
Well, yeah, but I don't...
Get in the cab.
Where are we going?
Do a little investigating. 1426 Market Street, driver. And step on the gas.
Bearing Eyebrows and Buster draws away from the Metropolis Hotel. Another taxi pulls to a stop in front of the hotel. Clark Kent, Jimmy Olsen, and Mac the driver emerge and hurry into the lobby. One moment earlier, and they would have intercepted the men they seek. Now, what will happen? Tomorrow's episode is swift and exciting, gang, so don't miss it. Tune in, same time, same station.
And remember, for breakfast, it's Kellogg's Pep.
For excitement, the adventures of Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC comic magazines and is brought to you Monday through Friday at the same time by Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal. Say, who's in the know about kids in other countries, how they look and how they dress? Well, Kellogg has the answer with the cutouts on packages of Kellogg's Crumbles. Boy, will the kids in your family have a load of fun with these dolls of all nations, cutting them out and changing their costumes and collecting all six countries in the series, like Switzerland, Russia, Sweden. Two cutout dolls on every package in full color. That's dolls of all nations on packages of Kellogg's Crumbles.
Today, while Clark Kent pursues the trail to find his precious letter, two unsavory and untrustworthy creatures make nefarious plans for its disposal. Now, the adventures of Superman. A sealed letter in which Superman revealed his identity as Clark Kent, and which was to be opened by editor Perry White only in the event of Superman's death, was lost by White in a taxicab. Then, while Superman searched frantically for it, two men called Eyebrows and Buster found the letter in the taxi. Buster believed it to be the work of a joker or a crank, but Eyebrows decided to investigate, knowing that if the information were genuine, he could make a fortune by selling it in the underworld. Meanwhile, Kent is tracing the passengers who had occupied White's taxi. And as we continue now, he, Jimmy Olsen, and Mac, the cab driver, have arrived in front of the Metropolis Hotel in Mac's taxi, scarcely a minute after Eyebrows and Buster have departed. Listen.
Here's why I brought the guy with the bushy eyebrows, Mr. Kent. What do we do now?
Well, you and Jim go into the hotel lobby, Mac. Stand by the door. If you see the man, hold on to him for dear life until I get there.
Well, where are you going, Mr. Kent?
I've got a little idea, Jim. Go on, you and Mac wait in the lobby, huh?
Okay, come on, Jim.
Well, it sounds like a dumb idea to me. There must be a couple of thousand people in this hotel.
Jim,
how
you...
are we going to find one man when all we know about him is that he's got bushy eyebrows?
Now, please, Jim, I know what I'm doing.
Well, I'm beginning to wonder, but okay.
There, they've gone. I can look this hotel over better.
As Superman. So out of these clothes. Now, if Mr. Bushy Eyebrows is here, I'll find him. Find out if he has my letter. There we are, all set. Now, up!
And away!
Leaping into the sky, Superman streaks up above the huge 40-story Metropolis Hotel and begins to circle it, his X-ray vision stabbing through brick and steel and plaster to search every room and probe every occupant. Then, disappointed, he flashes back into the taxicab, resumes his guise and garb of Clark Kent, and joins Jimmy and Mac in the hotel lobby.
Well, it's no use, boys. There's no tall, dark man with black, bushy eyebrows in this hotel.
Huh? How do you know, Mr. Kent?
Well, I just looked, Jim, so
well, you just looked? Well, there are over 1,000 rooms in this hotel.
Oh,
and dining rooms and a barber shop and a drugstore and I don't know what else.
Yeah, that's right. You've only been gone a few minutes. So how do you know a man isn't here?
Just a second. Would you mind stepping over here with me a minute, Mr. Kent? Excuse us, will you, Mac?
Oh, yeah, sure. Look, Jim, what's the idea?
Please, Mr. Kent.
But what is this, Jim? We haven't much time, you know.
Look, Mr. Kent, are you sure you feel all right?
Yes, of course I do.
Are you sure nothing happened to you up on the planet Apollo?
Well, a lot of things happened, but I'm perfectly all right now, except that I'm very worried. What are you driving at, Jim?
Well, for the last few hours, ever since you got back from Apollo, you've been running around like a chicken with its head off. And I just realized it doesn't make sense.
Oh, yes, it does. You just don't understand, Jim.
Do you?
Oh, now, look, Jim,
well,
I'm not going
to... Well, if you do know what this is all about, suppose you let me in on it. Tell me why you're so upset about Superman's letter disappearing.
Why, I can't exactly explain, but...
No, of course you can't. That's why I say all this running around doesn't make sense.
But...
Look, I think you need a good rest, Mr. Kent. Why don't you
now
go...
Now, look, Jim, I know what I'm talking about, and
oh,
I...
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I tell you, if that letter falls into the hands of Superman's enemies, he'll be in a bad way. Matter of fact, it'll be serious if even his friends know what's in the letter.
Oh, jeepers, this gets crazier by the minute. Look, what is in that letter?
I can't tell you, Jim, but Superman said that unless his letter is recovered and returned to him unopened, the results may be very serious for him and for many others.
Superman told you that?
That's what he said. Are you satisfied now?
Oh, sure. Of course, I still can't figure it out.
Don't bother trying to figure it out. We've got to find that letter and find it quickly.
Okay, I'll do all I can. But where do we go from here?
Well...
You thought Mr. White lost the letter in Mac's taxicab.
I don't see where else he could have lost it.
I don't either. The only people who rode in the cab after Mr. White were Professor Bittelheimer and the guy with the bushy eyebrows.
I know, Jim.
Professor Bittelheimer didn't find it, and we can't find Mr. Bushy Eyebrows.
That means I've got to do what I've been trying to avoid.
What do you mean?
I've got to call in the police and advertise for the letter.
That's what we should have done before.
Yes, I know, but I kept hoping I wouldn't have to. Because advertising for it and offering a reward might make whoever found it more curious to see what's in it.
Gee whiz, that's right.
I've got to take the chance now. Let's see, if I hurry, I'll just have time to get an ad in the last edition of the Daily Planet. Get in Mac's cab and go to police headquarters, Jim. I'll meet you there. Hurry now.
As Clark Kent decides on a desperate move in an attempt to recover the revealing letter, we find Eyebrows and Buster seated in a shabby coffee shop booth with a gray-haired, ferret-faced man who is known to the Metropolis underworld as the Fixer.
The guy I'm talking about, Fixer, is Clark Kent, a reporter for the Daily Planet.
Clark Kent, huh?
That's right. You know him, Fixer?
Now, let's see. I know most of the newspaper boys and the cops, too.
That's why we came to you. We want to know all about this guy, Kent.
Me? I don't want to know nothing about him.
Shut up, Buster. Now, what about him, Fixer?
Yeah, Eyebrows. I know him.
Good. What's the lowdown on him? Tell me everything you know.
First, you tell me this. You guys in a jam with Kent's paper?
No, we're not in any trouble, Fixer. Why?
On account of it makes the price different, see? Since you aren't in any trouble, just give me $20.
$20?
That's right. You don't think I'm running a free information bureau, do you?
No, of course not.
But $20, why, we have...
Quiet,
to...
Buster. Here you are, Fixer. This works out okay, the info will be cheap.
Just $20, just thrown in the gutter, that's what it is. I tell you, that letter's
quiet,
a phony.
Quiet, I said.
Okay. Go ahead, throw it away, I don't...
Go on, Fixer. Talk.
Okay. Here's the dope on Kent. He's supposed to be a pretty smart guy.
He is, huh?
Yeah, he helped the cops crack some pretty big cases around this town, but...
We don't want no part of him.
Go on, Fixer.
Well, like I said, Kent's supposed to be a pretty smart guy. But he ain't got much moxie.
What do you mean? He's yellow?
Well, yeah, I guess you might say that. You see, whenever a case he's working on comes to a showdown and there's going to be any shooting, Kent always has business someplace else.
Oh, he has,
Yeah. Say, you look like I slipped you some bad news.
Yeah, that's bad news, all right.
Oh, no, it ain't. It's swell news. Come on, Eyebrows, let's get out of here.
Yeah, might as well. So long, Fixer.
So long, boys. And thanks for the business. Come back anytime you want to know something.
eyebrows. You satisfied now that this guy Kent ain't Superman? Especially since Stixer says Kent's a sissy character?
Yeah, it looks like I was wrong, Buster. That letter must have been a gag on Kent, like you said.
Sure it was. Only you wouldn't listen to me. And now you can't make that big party anymore tonight where there's all that ice and folding money just waiting for a smart pickpocket like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I know, I know. I thought sure I had $1 million in my hands. I would have, too, if that letter had been on the level. Well, those are the breaks. Here, wait. Wait, Buster. I want to take a quick gander at today's paper.
Oh, come on. You'll read the paper in a restaurant.
Just a minute. Just a minute.
Huh? What?
Hey, Buster, look.
What?
Hey, look at this big ad on the first page of the Daily Planet. See what it says?
How can I see what it says? You know I can't read.
Now, listen, then. Lost. White envelope, heavily sealed with red wax, addressed to Mr. White, Lois, and Jim.
Huh? Hey, that's the letter I found, ain't it?
Yeah. The finder will return the envelope to Clark Kent or Perry White at the Daily Planet unopened. He will receive $1,000 reward.
$1,000? No kidding.
Hey, you realize what this means, Buster?
Do I, and how? 1,000 bananas. We'll seal that goofy letter up again like it was never opened. And we'll collect a grand from the suckers, huh?
You're nuts. We'll collect $1 million for it.
$1 million? But the ad only says 1,000.
Never mind that. So far as I'm concerned, this ad practically says Clark Kent is Superman.
We'll be back in a moment with the tense climax of today's episode. So stand by. Discouraged to learn that Clark Kent was known to be somewhat cowardly, Eyebrow's confidence was restored when he picked up a late edition of the Daily Planet and read Clark Kent's offer of $1,000 reward for the return of Superman's letter. Jubilantly, he announced to his companion,
Buster, this ad practically says Clark Kent is Superman.
What do you mean, Eyebrows?
Hey, don't you get it?
No.
Well, if he isn't Superman, why'd he be offering $1,000 to whoever returned the letter to him unopened?
I don't know, but he can't be Superman. You heard what the picture says. Kent is yellow.
He only said Kent was never around when a case came to the payoff and there was shooting.
That's right. That means he's yellow.
Maybe. Or else he ducks away so he can come back as Superman.
Hey, I never thought of that.
Buster, I think that $1 million that flew out of the window just a while ago is flying right back in again.
Now wait a minute. Look, maybe it looks a little like that, but we ain't got any real proof. No big shot operators will believe us without 100% proof.
I know it, but we're going to get the proof.
How?
I know how. Tonight, Buster, I'll prove that Clark Kent is Superman.
His eyes gleaming craftily under their bushy black brows, the pickpocket called Eyebrows exultantly claps his baby-faced little companion on the back. Tonight, he says, he will prove that Clark Kent is Superman. What is Eyebrows' plan? Is Superman's cherished secret, one of the most closely guarded secrets in existence, about to be revealed to the underworld? Whatever you do, don't miss tomorrow's thrilling episode, gang. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow. Same time, same station.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0, all guns are always loaded. Rule 1, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital Henry and Digital George, for that PSA. You've been listening to my edited treatment of Superman, The Secret Letter, that aired from the 25th of November to the 3rd of December in 1946. I'm going to go ahead and play out another one of the episodes. I'll probably wrap it around with the beginning of next show, just for continuity's sake. Coming up next is CR and the Worst Boy Guild here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Tufts Freeform Radio, pre-recorded.
Faster!
faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P, Pep. Kellogg's Pep, the Sunshine Cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman.
Today, as Superman continues to search for the letter revealing his double identity, he unwittingly places a friend's life in jeopardy.
Hello there, gang. This is your pal, Dan McCullough. You know what I heard the other day? Well, somebody told me that one of the fellows in the gang was so thrilled and excited when he heard that Kellogg's Pep is putting out a brand new series of comic buttons, well, he practically stood up and cheered. Yes, sir, and I'll bet you'll feel like that, too, when you get one of these new Pep comic buttons. It'll be one of your old favorite funny sheet characters, you know, like Goofy and Beezy from Harold Teen, or Barney Google, or Superman himself. Or any one of 18 new and different buttons, each one a real humdinger for color and sparkle. You'll get a big kick out of collecting these Pep comic buttons and swapping duplicates with your pals and wearing your collection pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap for everybody to see. Maybe you'll want to start a race with somebody to see who can collect the most Pep comic buttons the soonest. And say, here's the payoff, gang. You don't have to send in a single penny, not even a box stop. You can't even buy these swell comic buttons anywhere. All you do is ask Mom to get you plenty of Kellogg's Pep and look for your prize inside every package. Yes, and Pep's a prize when it comes to good eating, too. Tastes a doggone sunny and delicious. It helps breakfast start off your day in high. So ask Mom for P-E-P, the Sunshine Cereal, Kellogg's Pep.
And now the adventures of Superman.
While Clark Kent searches desperately for a lost letter in which his identity as Superman is revealed, he is unaware that it is in the possession of two pickpockets called Eyebrows and Buster. At first, an investigation of Kent led the thieves to believe the letter was written as a joke on the young reporter, who they were informed is a mild young man lacking in physical courage. But when an advertisement in the Daily Planet offered a reward of $1,000 for the return of the letter unopened, Eyebrows decided that meant Kent must be Superman, realizing that if he could prove it, he could sell his information to the underworld for a fortune. Eyebrows told his confederate,
"Tonight, Buster, I'm going to prove that Clark Kent is Superman."
As we continue, it is later that evening, and the city room of the Daily Planet is almost deserted. In his office, Clark Kent is anxiously pacing the floor as Editor Perry White enters. Listen.
Anything new, Kent?
Oh, not a thing, Chief. Papers have been on the street almost 3 hours. Surely whoever found the letter must have seen the ad by now.
Yes, I suppose so.
On page one of every evening paper in Metropolis.
I know. But look, Kent, maybe nobody's found the letter.
Oh, somebody must have found it. You had it today at noon before you went to the observatory on Mount Arthur, didn't you?
Yes, but...
And it isn't anywhere in our shop, nor at the observatory, nor in the taxicab you rode in. So either someone picked your pocket or you dropped it outside and somebody found it.
Well, I suppose I lost it on the street and the street cleaner shoveled it up. It might be on the city junk pile.
No, it isn't. I looked.
You looked? When?
A little while ago.
Oh. Say, what are you talking about?
Huh?
It would take you a month to go through that 5 acres of trash on the city heap.
Don't be silly.
Silly? Wait, where are you?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Chief. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be insulting. It's just that I'm very worried. I was hoping that ad would bring results so that the police or Candy Myers or maybe Batman would turn up something, but I'm starting to think I'm out of luck.
You? Why are you out of luck?
Huh? Oh, I mean Superman is.
Now, listen, Kent. I've been giving this matter a great deal of thought. I still can't figure it out. Of course, I have no idea what could be in that letter, but whatever it is, I can't see how it could harm Superman.
Well, I wish I could explain it to you, Chief.
You mean you know?
Well,
do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, then, for Pete's sake, tell me. What's in it? Maybe I can help somehow.
No, you can't help, Chief, and I can't tell you what's in the letter.
Well, how do you know? Why don't you tell me anyhow?
Because I can't.
Why not? Did Superman swear you to secrecy when you were up on the planet Apollo with him?
Well, I suppose that's one way of putting it.
Oh, what kind of an answer is that? Either he did or he didn't.
Well, he...
Look here, Kent. All this is beginning to sound cockeyed to me.
But
I'm getting a sort of strange idea, too, about
just
you.
Maybe that's about the ad. Hello?
That you, Clark?
Yes, who is it?
Well, this is Bruce.
Who?
Bruce Wayne.
You know, Batman.
Oh, hello, Bruce. Oh, sorry, I didn't register for a moment. Look, have you had any luck?
Well, no, but...
Who's that? Bruce Wayne.
Listen.
That playboy.
I've thought of something that may be very important. Can you come over here?
Well, I don't know. Somebody might come in yet in answer to the ad, and I think I should be here in case...
Look, leave word you're with me at the Boulevard Club. If anybody shows up, the switchboard girl can phone you, and you can hop right back as super... Well, you know what I mean.
Well...
It's really important, Clark.
Okay, then. I'll arrange things here and be right over.
Good. You'll find me in the dining room.
Why don't you order something, Clark? You probably haven't eaten all day. As a matter of fact, I haven't, but I don't feel much like eating. I'm too worried.
I know, but just the same, you should eat.
I'll order
something. Please, Bruce. No, I haven't time. Just tell me what you wanted to see me about.
Okay, here it is. First, it occurred to me that anybody reading that letter probably wouldn't believe it.
Oh, now look, Bruce, if you're trying to cheer me up with false...
No, now listen to me. I'm the only person in the world who knows you're Superman, right?
Well, you were the only one. Till that letter was lost.
Let me finish. Now, except for me, everyone else thinks you're a mild, timid guy, even a bit of a sissy. Isn't that so?
Yeah, I suppose. Although I think Perry White began to get suspicious tonight.
Oh, forget him. I'm sure anybody else would laugh at the idea of your being Superman.
But when they read the letter...
They'll probably still laugh. Or else, and this is why I had to see you, Clark, they'd try to test you.
Test me? You mean try to find out if I really am Superman?
Exactly. If whoever has that letter believes what it says and realizes the value of his information, he might try something like, well...
Firing a shot at me?
Maybe. Or pushing you out of a high window or something like that. Yeah. The important thing is that until we find that letter, I think you've got to be on your guard every second.
You're right, Bruce. How can I protect myself? Suppose somebody walks up behind me and fires a shot at my back. The bullet will bounce off me and he'll know the truth.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, there's only one thing I can think of to do.
What's that?
Somebody's got to be with you every minute.
Huh?
Keep his eyes open and help you cover up in case anything happens. And that can only be... yours truly.
Oh, I hate to ask you to do that, Bruce.
Oh, now forget it. It's vitally important that your identity as Superman remains a secret.
I know, but...
Besides, I know that you'd do as much for me if my identity as Batman were threatened. Now, wouldn't you?
Well, yes, of course.
Okay,
but...
then it's settled. Now, what are your plans? Where are you going from here?
I'm going to the office and see if anyone came in about that ad and then go home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to think this thing out some more.
Okay, you call your office. I'll settle my dinner check and meet you out in the lobby.
Right.
Clark Kent and Batman leave the Boulevard Club to go the short distance to Kent's apartment. Two skulking figures drop from the fire escape on Kent's apartment house into the dark alley. Swiftly, they scuttle across the street, where they crouch in the dark shadows of a church overlooking Kent's building.
One, two, three, four, five, six. Yeah. That's Kent's apartment up there, Buster, see? Those windows on the sixth floor corner.
I don't like this, eyebrows. Suppose he can tell we was up there.
How's he gonna tell?
Well, we might have left something.
No. I made sure we didn't leave anything. Not even a fingerprint.
But
I kept my gloves on the whole time I work. Now remember, as soon as we see Kent's lights go on, you beat it to that drugstore in the corner. Call him up. And when he picks up the phone to answer, we'll know if he's Superman or not.
How'll we know?
How? Didn't I explain it to you, stupid? The telephone receiver will blow up in his face.
Holy smokes.
If nothing happens to Kent, we'll know he's Superman. And you and I won't have to pick another pocket as long as we live. We'll be millionaires.
But suppose he ain't Superman?
Well, then it's too bad. Because when he picks up the receiver, he won't even be Kent anymore. He'll just be a lot of little pieces.
Jeepers, that'll be murder.
Yeah. I don't like that part of it myself. But you gotta take big chances for $1 million.
Look at eyebrows. Let's let go through with this. Let's sneak up there again and pick the soup out of the phone. Come on.
Hey, are you nuts, Buster?
Nah, look. We've been doing okay. Maybe we ain't rich, but we've been eating pretty regular and not getting caught and sent up too often. Why should we take a chance like this and maybe wind up in the hot seat?
Don't worry. We're not winding up in any hot seat.
We might. Look, listen to me,
now,
eyebrows.
Look, this is a chance in a lifetime, a chance to hit the jackpot. Now, shut up. Keep your eyes on Kent's windows.
But I both look, I...
Wait. Look.
What?
Kent's lights just went on.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
All right, go on. Beat it. Get over to that drugstore and call him up.
But
get going, I said. I'll stay here till I hear the explosion. Then I'll meet you back at the hotel. Go on, hurry up.
Okay, High Bronze. I sure hope this works out like you say.